This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Hallelujah, it's good to be home. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for sending us. Thank you for believing with us for God to do great things, and he certainly did on our trip. And we're just glad to be back and see all our friendly faces that we missed while we were away. But we have a whole nother family now that we love and are connected to in Togo, West Africa. So a lot to share with you today.
That music that was playing during the video was something that we listened to every day when we were moving back and forth from the church. So we just fell in love with it.
That's worship from Nigeria is what that was. And that was one of the amazing things is, although we went to Togo, we got a chance to meet and interact with people from several African nations, including Nigeria and Ghana and Benin and, of course, Togo and South Africa. So they came from all over to help Bishop Paul and Pastor Blessing celebrate their 25th anniversary. That's why we all had on our purple clothes. That Sunday you saw all the 25s.
That picture where I was sitting on the chair, they were putting a ghillie on my head. And it was so fun because it was like they were dressing their doll. And then they would all step back and they would,
oh! Yeah, they had a blast doing that. So we just kind of want to share with you some of the impressions that we brought back from Togo, and more than just our stories, we want to help you experience what we did and the things that we witnessed in the African church that really, I believe, the Lord wants to emphasize in the American church. It's like there's a strength there in the African church that we can learn from, and isn't it cool that God took us to Africa to show us some things that we can desire and almost be jealous of and say, Lord, we want that too.
I have to say, though, that, you know, here we thought that the Africa trip was just started in April when I wrote this on the card. But when we came back home, I looked at my pictures that I had painted from a year ago, and this one I painted 2 years ago. And it was like I looked at the pictures and I knew who they were once we got back.
Yeah. This we met this person.
When I painted it, I thought I was painting a Dominican girl, but then when I put the cross in it, I knew, well, this is not the Dominican Republic.
Because the cross isn't used in the DR.
But yeah, it was a girl, Alexandra, in Togo.
Yeah.
That, and the colors are just absolutely Africa. So it was like we thought that this trip just started in April when we met Bishop, but really, this, when I wrote it on the card, was just the key that opened the gate for us to walk through to go into Africa. Mm-hmm. I remember talking to Sharon. I was sitting there looking at a African video, and I was just like, yeah, I think we're going to go to Africa. And this was like, I don't know, June? And the Lord just made it come.
If you think about it, in the past 3 months, we've experienced the Dominican Republic, the Blackfeet Nation of Montana, and Africa. And really, that was not our plan. And God had a plan in doing that and immersing us into these cultures. And I had a picture, too. I don't paint like she does, but I have pictures up here. And I'd done some research on Togo before we left because I didn't know anything about the country. It's one of the smallest countries in Africa, one of the poorest. And so I hadn't heard about it, so got on Google, what you do, right? You start learning. And what I learned about Togo, it's one of the countries on the coast, Africa at the bump. I call it the bump. So if you're looking at Africa, it has the big bump and then goes down to South Africa and back up. And so it's right here on the shelf, you know, sort of on the bottom side of the bump. The next land you would run into if you were to go south is Antarctica. I mean, there's a lot of space between that and Antarctica, but there's just no other land. It's like just out there. And so, you know, as opposed to other parts of Africa that you have, like the Ivory Coast or the Gold Coast or the Diamond Coast, named for the resources that those nations are known for, Togo is a part of what they call the Slave Coast. So you can put together two and two and figure out why they would do that. This was the part of Africa that the European ships would come to harvest people to then send back and use in slavery. Of course, that broke my heart, and I began to pray. And as I prayed, I felt like the Lord said, the ships are returning to Africa. The first ships brought bondage and, you know, heartache and, yeah, you know, just enslavement. He said, but the ships are coming back. And this time they're bringing freedom and deliverance and blessing and revival to Africa, which I thought was really cool. Well, then when we got there, we found out the only natural resource that Togo has is this deep water port. It's the only place where these ocean-going vessels, these big cargo container ships, can come and dock and be unloaded. So all the stuff that comes in comes through Lomé, Togo, West Africa. And so in a very real way, what the enemy meant for harm, God now is turning for good. One of our last days there in the church, we were sitting in the little green room where we sat before and after service, and there was a new picture on the wall. And I said, that's a new picture.
And no, I said, that's a new picture. And I said, pointed it out.
And guess what it was a painting of? Ships. The ships coming into the port with their sails filled. And it's just like, there's a word to me that's what it says. And, you know, even though Togo is the smallest and the poorest, I believe the Lord says the least among them is going to be the greatest of all. And revival will come to Africa through the porthole of Togo. You can give God applause for that. I want you to amen with your mouth and your hands today, because a lot of what we're going to share with you are prophetic pictures or words that were just confirmed again and again and again. We were supposed to be there.
And I have to correct you, because I already believe revival has already started.
Absolutely.
In Africa.
It has.
The church was full of 300 to 500 people worshiping God with all their heart.
That's right. And from surrounding villages around Togo. So this church, I'm going to give you some bullet points. And what these are impressions that we came home with. But what I also feel they are growth points for the Western church that we need to see here in the U.S. So the very first bullet point, and the thing that impressed us the most by far, that we recognized a gift in the African church that is somewhat lacking.
As soon as we got
off
the airplane.
Exactly. As soon as we got off the airplane, it's the word honor. Honor. Now, I know that it sounds kind of weak, but we saw honor in the way it's supposed to be demonstrated. And it's the way that we were treated, the way the church treats its bishop and their pastor, the way that we were treated by bishop and pastor Blessing. It's just every place we went, we saw the demonstration of this word honor, and it so impressed us, because it's not something that we see as a common virtue or value here in the U.S. I mean, literally to the point where I couldn't even have carried this to the platform this morning. Somebody would have carried it for me. Krista never touched her purse.
When we pulled up, I mean, anywhere, we pulled up to their house, we pulled up to the church. I quickly learned that we don't touch the door handle of the door. Someone else is going to open the door and take. They hauled our bags up three flights of stairs, and
it's not like we're used to that kind of treatment.
No.
or expected it.
No.
Or frankly, even want it, because there was somewhat of an awkwardness about it. But at the same time, it was the way they were showing respect and honoring the man and woman of God who had come to minister to them. It was remarkable. And honestly, as soon as we hit the States, as soon as we got home, the very day, we immediately, it was like a culture shock. Not because we had to carry our own stuff and open our own car doors. It's just the way people treat each other. It was just like, whoa. It was kind of hard to come back to be honest with you. We need some breakthrough in the area of honor. We just do. And here's what Rabbi Kurt says about honor. I spent about an hour and a half on the phone with Rabbi on Friday. He's the one that introduced us to Bishop that got us to Togo. And I was telling him about this honor thing. He goes, well, honor is the currency of heaven. And when you get that fact down, it opens up the window for God to move in the miraculous, in signs and wonders. And he said, that's why you're seeing that in Africa. And sure enough, we saw miracles and signs and wonders. Every time we turned around, it was witnessed. It was evident. Just the church itself is a miracle. In a nation that knows the poverty it knows, to have the kind of church that they have, that they paid a dear price for, but that God has honored them because they have honored him. Does that make sense? There's this biblical spiritual principle about honor that we've got to learn more about, because it opens up opportunity for God to do things that normally he isn't able to do. Even what they call Bishop and Blessing, everyone refers to them as Daddy and Mommy. Everyone. Just this term of endearment, the way that they look at them as spiritual parents.
Around the house, even the girls that were helping out would say, you know, Daddy, Mommy. And they would call us Daddy and Mommy, too.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. But, you know, you realize that, again,
it was a term of honor.
Of honor and of love. They really held these people in high regard and respect, like parents are supposed to be held in that regard. So it really was an awakening for us and something we thought, boy, there's a treasure there for the American church to learn. So the first word is honor. The second word is appreciation. I've never seen appreciation shown like I did in that culture. And it was radical appreciation. It was over-the-top appreciation. Like, oftentimes we just take for granted, and they took nothing for granted. They recognized that everything that they did was a gift of serving to Jesus. And they appreciated everything. The fact that we would come there. We were the only speakers that got to stay the whole time. So we were there the entire conference. And yeah,
they mentioned that several times.
They recognized what an honor it was for them. They appreciated the investment, or, you know, what that meant for us to stay them with there that long. To the point that, you know, there was always dancing, right? Worship, Krista says, we never clapped.
Yeah, there was no
clapping.
Because
you're always, you know, doing that, you know? Yeah. And they loved it whenever Krista would get up and dance. All their little cell phones come out, and they're all...
Oh, my goodness.
You know, look at the white lady.
I felt like a celebrity the first day. There was 50 people in front of us taking
our picture with their phones. When someone does a dance for worship, like, you know, you saw some of the dancers, every service there was a special dance that was presented. Anytime someone sings a song, anytime someone delivers the word of God, like, for instance, if I'm preaching and I walk over here to you all, I'm speaking to you, guess what this section would do in Africa? Stand to your feet. And it'd be like, come on, pastor, yes. Not only in honor, sometimes they would kneel. It's like, just like, yes, Lord, I receive your word. I want this. It's like they're drawing the word out of you. It wasn't a freaky, like, hero worship. Yeah. It was recognizing something
like
spiritual.
Like they were responding to the word.
There's a spiritual transaction taking place, and I want in. I want that. If you're singing a song or dancing or even preaching the word, it was not uncommon. It freaked us out, but it wasn't uncommon for them to come up and throw money at the person who was singing or dancing. It was like, what's that about?
Or if someone was preaching, they would throw it in
the offering box. Yeah. If you're super sweaty, which you always were because it's Lomé, right? They would slap it to your forehead. It would stick.
Yeah.
They would wipe your sweat with it. And then if you're a woman, and it's a woman giving the gift,
they would shove it down her shirt.
And it's just like, okay, culturally, it's like.
There was a few things like that. Where
but
like,
it was just
okay,
showing.
What did that mean?
It was showing, Wally, don't you ever do that to me. Don't you ever stuff money down my shirt. I don't want to see you do that.
Unless it's hundreds, then go
Unless
for
it's
it.
Unless it's hundreds, yeah, go for it. I'll take it. It was just like, we were like, what's that about? And they're like, they're just showing appreciation. Now, you've got to realize, okay, you're like, wow, throwing money. Is it all that money?
No.
They don't have money. Okay? It's not like they're filthy rich people and they're just throwing money around. It's not that. It's appreciation. Are you hearing me? It's appreciation.
One day we looked over to the side and the woman was dancing, and then next thing we know, she has a chair on top of her head dancing around, and another one grabs a big bag, and it's like they're showing
joy.
Joy.
Which is my third word.
Oh, sorry.
That's right. Joy is my third word. We saw joy expressed. I've never seen it like that. It was like everything about them. It oozed out of their pores.
Oh my gosh, the baby dedications. Hello, we're going to change our baby dedications because.
Oh man.
This happened the first Sunday that we were there. They played a song and a woman carried in the baby. It wasn't the mama.
You saw it in the video.
Yeah. And then the parents were behind and everybody was dancing and people were joining
them. Everybody was dancing. It was a celebration.
Yeah.
It was like the house understood what a blessing this new life is and all celebrated together. Isn't that the coolest thing? It made me cry. It's like, whoa. just in their clothes, in their dance, in the way they reacted to one another, the color, bright colors, everything was just joyful. You know, I think people who experienced much sorrow are the ones who can truly appreciate the blessing of God, and they joy is a natural response, supernatural joy. And the lady with her chair on the head, we were like, why did she have a chair on her
head?
It
took us a couple days to get brave enough to say, what was that
and
about?
Said, it's like she just like overwhelmed with joy. Whatever you can find, stick it on your head, right? Small child, you know, young animal, whatever it is, just stick it on your head and dance around. You saw the villagers bring an offering to Bishop, a bowl of fruit. You saw that? This is what they had. So with joy, they brought this fruit on their head and they laid it down before the bishop. It's just like, whoa, we need to know joy like that. You know, the Bible says, you know, that joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we saw that demonstrated there in Lomé. So that's number three. Number four is faith. Faith like I've never seen it before. Faith in the middle of a situation that would be difficult for the strongest person. And yet they had this incredible belief that God is good. It's like a bedrock understanding that God is good. In fact, in one of my messages, didn't mean to. I just kind of said offhanded, I just said, God is good. And this thunderous response, all the time. I'm like, whoa. Man, they were preaching at me. It's like everybody understood that. That God is good constantly, always. He's never not good. That's all he knows how to be. We'll acknowledge that, but then we walk out the door and we forget. These people are living in the knowledge that God is good, knowing that he is for them. That's where their belief comes from. And they respond and they act on the word unquestioningly. If the word says it, they believe it, and they're going to act on it. And they're going to confess it with their mouth. And I think the evidence of what we saw in that church, that was the very first church of its kind ever in Togo. I mean, things that we would take for granted, like having that choir, you know, that had never happened before. These are true pioneers. 25 years ago, they came into the country with nothing, literally nothing. The country was filled with voodoo. And a religion called fetish, which is sort of an offshoot of voodoo, still there. But they broke through. Every person was into voodoo. Everybody. And they came in the midst of that in a little shack with no food, sleeping on a grass mat on the floor, taking a shower in an old refrigerator. That's how they started.
I just have to tell the story of Tuesday when we were getting ready to leave and Pastor Blessing came back and she said, I had a miracle happen today. And we were like, what? And she said, they were driving along the streets and she saw a woman go out into the middle of the street and throw an egg down. And she knew immediately what that was about. And so she told the driver, stop. And she jumped out of the vehicle and went over and said, that's not your answer. Because she knew that a witch doctor had told her to take the egg and throw it in the street.
Sacrifice an egg.
To remedy her problems that she was having. And so Pastor Blessing, she immediately said, that's not your answer. What you need is Jesus. And she led the gal to the Lord and said, come to our church. You know, I'll teach you how to be a better
connect with Jesus.
Yeah,
we saw evidence of voodoo and you know witchcraft everywhere. We were walking on the beach. That last shot, Krista, on the beach. You know, there was a goat that had been sacrificed to the water spirit that had washed back up, of course, on the beach and was rotting there. Like, yeah, that's a sacrifice. We saw demonic manifestations in most worship settings that we were in. People literally manifesting demons. That's the culture that they deal with. That's the culture they came into the middle of.
Bishop would address it immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And it was taken care of.
They don't mess with it. But they know how. Because they know the spiritual is very real. I know that might seem odd to you. Here's what I want you to know. The same devil that lives in Togo lives in America. We may not see that kind of expression, but he's here and has other ways of keeping us captive and distracted and off of the true word. And so it just was amazing. That's the kind of faith. Listen to this. This church, in 25 years, not only have they built this amazing building and have all these wonderful people coming to church and just filled with joy and worship, but they have graduated 800 pastors from their Bible college. Listen to me. 800 pastors from their Bible college. And they've planted almost 20 churches.
No, it's 12, and then two of those churches have started two more.
Yeah.
So they
grandbaby churches.
Grandbaby churches.
And they're planting churches in America. Come on. It's just crazy. Talk about faith, all right? That was number four. The fifth word is sacrifice. Sacrifice. And as I was doing my notes and collecting thoughts on the airplane coming home, I was trying to put the right word down. And it's like generosity, but it's not. Because to me, this is my definition, if someone is, you know, if they come up and they give you a gift, or they're known for giving people things, money, what do we call them? They're very generous, right? To me, that's giving out of your abundance. It's out of your overflow. Sacrifice is giving when you don't have it to give. These people that were throwing money and slapping it on their forehead, it's not like they were wealthy people. They were giving what they really couldn't afford to give, but they couldn't not give, because they were appreciating. Are you hearing me today?
And they see serving, giving as unto the Lord. They don't see it as like
a big bother.
Yeah, they see it. They're giving it to the Lord.
Yeah, one of the little gals that is like Bishop's personal assistant, we just, you know, we just gave her a small token to thank her. Like, you know, it was something that Krista had gotten, a bar of soap, a nice smelling soap. We just gave that as a gift. And she was so appreciative. And later on Facebook, we just told her how much we appreciated her serving us. And she just said, that's how I worship God. Yeah. It was like she didn't expect to be thanked or appreciated for that. So it was just really interesting to see how sacrificial people were. How they even, I mean, this dress that Krista has on was given to her by the interpreter's wife. Just because, out of appreciation, this suit. Bishop had this suit custom made for me. Like the tailor showed up, took my measurements and put this together. This has like a lining, like a
suit. It matches Bishop's suits.
Bishop,
they could be twins.
Like it. Every outfit you see displayed out there was given to us in the lobby. I mean, it's just like
my Gillies on the desk were bought for me.
Crazy, generous, sacrificial culture. And it just impressed us so much.
And if you saw the pictures on Facebook or on here of their house is like in Africa. You don't go and get a home loan to buy a house and build a house. They pay cash for it. So
they build it as they can afford to.
Yeah, build as they can afford to. So
we saw lots of half completed structures. They just were waiting until they had money to take the next step.
But like on the bottom floor and going up the steps, there were marble floors and mm-hmm. up the step. And that was a gift from actually one of the singers there. She had been ministered to them, actually delivered
mm-hmm.
Through
she
their
was
ministry.
Demonically oppressed.
That they had taken her to all kinds of doctors. And this was before they were Christians. And so somehow they found the church, and the mom and the daughter came mm-hmm. and they ministered to her and she got delivered.
So they gave them the floor tile as a thank you.
The dad was like, well, why didn't we know about this sooner? You know, and as a thank you.
You know, one of the things that I want to say about this sacrificial spirit, and this is something that I'm learning, you know, it's not easy for us in America because we have so much. But the way that you break the spirit of poverty is by giving, which does not make any sense at all, right? It's not logical. I remember a rabbi saying when he went for the first time to Togo, he said, I want to take up an offering. I want the pastors to take up an offering that he would then send to Israel. And Bishop was like, I don't know. You know, these are very poor people. I don't know. And rabbi said, exactly, which is why they need to take an offering and give it to Israel, because you sow what it is that you need. You hearing me?
Yes.
You sow what it is you need. If you need friends, guess what you need to sow? Friendship. You sow into what it is that you need. So this generous sacrificial spirit has been an intentional tool that Bishop has used to break the spirit of poverty in those people. I mean, that's what's prevalent in the land, is a poverty spirit. Can I tell you that you can have money and have a poverty spirit? You can have lots of money and have a poverty spirit. That thing needs to be broken. And that's why we saw it so strongly as a positive there in Togo. So many things that we saw that impressed us that we thought, man, this is a strength that's lacking in the U.S. Now, I'm going to go a little further with y'all than I could first service because
I talk too much.
We've done a better job of managing our time. There were some things that we saw that weren't, you know, as cool, like the darkness. We saw overt, you know, negative stuff.
But it wasn't like it was an unsafe city.
No.
Felt safe all the
time.
No,
we just saw the spiritual side, the dark side. In fact, Bishop tells the story going into a village to plant a church for the first time where voodoo fetish was the thing. Never had a Christian witness in that village at all. And as he went into the village, the spiritual atmosphere was so charged, so saturated with evil that a tree in the village began to speak to him. That's hard to understand, but they have it on video. The tree, the spirit through the tree said, get out of here. You will not put a church in this village. That's how strong.
Yeah, the witch doctor had cursed.
Yeah. It's like, okay, never had a tree talk to me before. And Bishop called Rabbi and said, Rabbi, you need to agree to me that the tree will stop talking to me. It's like, yeah, I would agree with that too.
I'd be calling the rabbi too.
There was a girl, as Krista said, that was, you know, so demonized and she had to be in chains. And she was ministered to and set free, and she was one of the featured vocalists on the platform, just sweet spirit.
And she lives in the States, and her and her husband are worship pastors here in the state.
You know, we heard stories about horrific violence that Blessing witnessed firsthand. They'd gone back to Nigeria, where they're from, for a wedding.
And it was a week before 9/11 here.
While they were there, the Boko Haram, you've heard of them, the radical Islamic faction, began to decapitate people right in front of their house, chopping people with machetes, and they had to escape. While they escaped, climbing over this tall 14-foot wall, Blessing was impaled with rebar in her stomach. And it's like, that's the kind of stuff these people have lived through. We said, you need to write your story. There needs to be a movie or something. Oh my gosh. The things that these people have experienced and lived through. Such lessons for us. I'll tell you this. We were the only white people we saw the entire time we were there. And never one time did we sense any animosity or any kind of prejudice toward us. Contrast that with what we're seeing in Virginia today. And I'm telling you, the spirit of racism is from the pit of hell. Amen. And we cannot tolerate it in any form or fashion. And we can't just agree that it's wrong. We've got to be vocal. We've got to call the church to account because it has no place in our churches. And yet, the American church is the most segregated place on the planet, and it's wrong. And there's a reason why we were exposed to the Dominican Republic, to the Blackfeet Nation, to Togo, Africa this summer. God is calling us to be a church that not only touches nations, but is made up of the nations. And the nations are coming to us. You realize what's happening a week from Monday. The nations are coming here. You realize what's happening on the Missouri Western campus. The nations are coming to us. What are we going to do about that? We can't live in our little box and say it's us four and no more. That is not an option. Not if we want to see the results that we witnessed in the African church. Are you with me?
Amen.
Say amen. Another thing that I found remarkable, one of the bishops that we met has a 6,000-member church in Ghana. And he brought with him his man who was with him, who was there to serve him and, again, honor like I've never seen. He was the head of their intercessory prayer movement in their church. And I said, so tell me about that. I wanted to know what intercessory prayer looked like in the Ghanaian church. He said, well, we pray 24/7. I said, like all the time? He said, yeah, like all the time. He said, in fact, there are 400 people who have signed up, and they're continually praying around the clock 24/7. And I said, that's really cool. I said, what do they pray for? Do you give them a list? He looked at me really funny. He goes, for the bishop.
Yeah,
that's
it was
all
just
that
the
they
bishop
do.
Give the list. Yeah. Just what
they
the-
pray for their leader. 400 people every day.
And they have a certain time of night from 11 to 3 that they all WhatsApp. I had never heard of that, but
they all connect together.
Yeah, and that's where they get their information, and they commit to pray every night from 11 to 3 together.
There's some other things I'm not going to get into because, you know, I know that our friends in Lomé are listening, and I want them to know that we honor them and are so blessed. We saw the hardship, too. We saw the things that they're dealing with. So it isn't like it's this utopian, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to say there was no problems. It was just, you know, unicorns and rainbows. It wasn't that. But I'm just so impressed that in the midst of the challenges that they face, what the Lord has allowed them to establish there is a miracle. We sat in a miracle. And it's obvious that only God could do that. And sometimes I think our abundance here in America is one of our biggest hindrances. I believe that. It's a hindrance to our giving. It's a hindrance to our, we're so distracted, we're so busy, we're so inconvenienced. In the meanwhile, we don't see the results that they see in Africa. We don't see the miracles and the signs and wonders that evidence that God is alive and real today.
Can I share my testimony?
Yeah.
I would say when we started in ministry, or was it when we did Joseph Resort Group?
What are you going to say? I don't know what you're about to say. That was when we started JRG.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tim would go out on the road, and I would go with him. And one time he got up to speak, and he said, I'm going to have my wife come up here and say something to you.
Just
and,
greet you all.
Yeah,
you know?
Greet you all. And so I took the microphone, and I said, hello, I'm the mute. And then I handed him back the microphone.
Like she doesn't speak.
Yeah, like I don't speak. And I have to say that, I'm going to read my quote here. When we got invited to Togo, Africa, Blessing was messaging with Tim, and she said, do you think Krista would speak to our pastor's wives? And I said, he said, well, will you? And I said, yes, Jesus, because I figure if the Lord takes me to Africa, then I'm not going to tell him no. I said, yes, Jesus. So we get over there, and that night, or that day, we're sitting in our leadership meeting, and then he's like, okay, let's break off the groups, and I want all the pastor's wives and all the pastors to go over here, because Krista's going to minister to you. And I'm like, okay.
Krista's eyes got really this
now,
big,
now, wait a minute.
Right?
I agreed to the, I just thought this. I agreed to the pastor's wives, but what about the pastors? I was like, okay, yes, Jesus, I'm going to do it because, you know, obviously he wants me to minister to both of them.
Because again, think about how they honor leaders there and their expectation that this person has something to give me. And so that puts a little pressure.
So I got over there, and it was going great, and it was so fun because I was speaking, and then we had the French interpreter, and then finally Blessing jumped up, and she said, okay, now I'm going to say it in African English. And so because, like, some of the terms maybe they wouldn't understand. And so the day went great, and I was like, whew, thank you, Jesus. I got through it, and, you know, I've done what you've asked me to do. And then that night, we'd always eat at 11 p.m. or midnight, our supper. So we finished our
spicy food.
Yes.
Tums were my best friend.
Yes,
let's just
yes.
say that.
So we finished the dinner, and usually we'd sit around the table. We got to spend a lot of time around the table with them. It was awesome. And it was probably 12:30 when we were breaking up to go up to bed.
And the next morning we start again. You know,
yeah,
it was morning.
We'd get up at 7. And Bishop said, okay, tomorrow we're going to have the pastor's wives and the pastors. Krista, you'll take them again. I'm like, I'm thinking, yes, Jesus. Because I was just like, okay, you know, when the Lord opens a door, you need to walk through it.
Yeah.
And so.
And she did great both times. Both times.
I was grateful because the Lord gave me, and you have to have 5 points. And so I was like, okay, Lord, you're going to have to give me 5 more points because they want their 5 points. And my point is that Bishop Humphrey, when he spoke about leadership, this is a quote that he said. He said, "May I not hide on the day of my destiny?" And I want that so much for you because you know what? So much has been sowed into each one of us that there's,
yeah.
You know, how full can you get? You're just eating. You're just becoming, as the Africans would say, fat, because it's not an offensive word to them. And so, you know, there comes a time when it's time for you to give out, to minister to people. It's time for you to not hide because you have a day of destiny, too.
That's awesome. You know, there were so many, as I said, just prophetic words and confirmations. Things that, you know, whether it's a painting Krista painted or a picture that I had going in, and even things that we didn't expect. There was a man from South Africa that spoke the first day, and he's very strongly gifted in the prophetic. So they called him Prophet Dan, of course. You know, that's everybody had a title, Prophet Dan. And he was ministering the first 2 sessions, and he was very difficult to understand. He spoke English, but it was African English. So sometimes we needed an English interpreter for the English,
yes.
You know, but he spoke well enough that we could understand the gist of what he was saying. And one time he was ministering, and of course he's all over the place, right? Because you don't sit down. That would not happen in Africa. Everybody's on their feet the whole time. And you walk over here and they jump up or they're kneeling down, and the prophet walks over and he's talking to everybody else, but he's looking at me. And he said, "The Lord says restoration has begun." I said, "Restoration has begun. Restoration has begun." And everybody's cheering and we're going.
He didn't know what the name of our church was. Yeah, we hadn't talked to him.
He's looking right at me. It's like, whoa.
Yes, Lord.
Wow. The next day he had another session. And he was given prophetic words left and right, you know. And this time he was talking to me. And he walked over to me and he said, "And the Lord says to you, your money troubles are over." You know, I mean, he has no idea what we've been facing here with the church and what it is that we're wanting to, what we're believing God for. And then he said, "And your ministry to families is going to impact the world." And it's just like, oh my gosh. And you have to realize, I just got off this whirlwind tour, right, of doing the fathering seminar in the Dominican Republic, and we learned that obedience does what?
Opens doors.
Opens doors. And then we went up to Browning, Montana, to these precious Blackfeet people, and we were able to give them the same message. And then the Lord sends us to Lomé, Togo, West Africa. And, you know, last fall I was speaking at a conference in Kansas City, and a man from South Africa was in the group. He came up to me afterward and he said, "I had a vision of you while you were speaking. Can I share it?" I said, "Okay." He said, "While you were talking, I saw the flags of the world all around you." So I just believe the Lord's going to use you in different places around the world. And another man from South Africa confirms the word in Africa. You know, it's like, Lord, you're out of control here. You know, this is a little too crazy.
And when we got to Praise Chapel, there was the flags on top of the building.
At the church, there were the flags of the world on top. But here's what I want you to know. This isn't about us too. This is about us. This is about what God is doing here in St. Joseph, Missouri. It absolutely blows me away that God has those kinds of plans for us. But he does. Like Krista said, we cannot afford to hide in our day of destiny. And that day is here.
Pastor Blessing, one night when we got back to the house, we were getting ready to go upstairs, and she'd stand there and she said, "You're a," and then she said a French saying, and the meaning of the saying was, "Your foot, my foot." And she said, "You're coming back to Africa and you're going to minister with me." And I was just like,
yeah.
Okay. And then before we left, she said, "When are you coming back to Africa?" I said, "I don't know, but I'm coming back."
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, here's what I believe. And I you know, processing on the airplane.
And I'm bringing
back.
People with me.
That's right. So look out. Mama Doyle's going to be looking for you. And I got invitations to Nigeria, South Africa, and Ghana to bring the fathering seminar there. So it's like, okay, you know, in God's time, whenever he says, that's what we'll do. But here's personally for me, you know, as I was coming home, I'm processing all this, and you guys got to know that this impacted us so deeply. We'll never be the same. We can't be the same after this. We just can't be. And I was processing all this stuff and, you know, just thinking about the past 3 years in particular. And I realized something, that for me in Africa was an awakening for me. And, you know, sometimes when you're asleep and you don't know you're asleep and you wake up and you're like, oh, I was asleep. Have you ever had that experience where you're dreaming and you think you're awake and you're really not, you're asleep and you wake up like, oh, that was a dream. I was sleeping. That's kind of how it felt for me. It's like, I didn't realize how the events of the past few years had just caused a part of my heart to kind of go to sleep, or maybe just to kind of tuck it away and hide it or protect it from any more. You know what I mean? It's like you just kind of hide it away. And this trip was an awakening for me, and I didn't know that I was asleep, but I'm not asleep anymore. And I wrote in my journal, I said, I'm never going back to sleep again. And I'm not going to apologize for who I am anymore. And I'm not going to look at the things of the past that caused pain and caused us to shrink back and caused us to kind of fret and worry and wonder. I can't do that anymore. It would be sin for me to do that. I just can't. You know, after you're awake and you realize you're awake. And then you have to walk like you're awake and not pretend that you're asleep anymore. I feel like the words that we've received were just confirmation. This was nothing new. It was, you know, that's what prophecy is. It's confirmation of something God's already spoken to you, that's already in your heart, and it resonates in you. And you say, yes, that's right. I never could put it into those words, but that's exactly how I feel. That's what God's been saying to me, too. And I don't know what it is for you, but here's what I know. The church in America has been asleep for far too long. This lioness is awake. And out of her cage. Look at her hair. Come on. And, you know, I just feel like this is our moment. September 1 is our 4-year anniversary. You think it's any accident that the timing of the Lord, the way he puts this together. September 1, we're releasing the sound of this house on this EP, right? It's like, oh, man. On Monday, the world's eyes will be focused on St. Joseph, Missouri. Zach will be taking a team out to Missouri Western for their Western warm-up that they do. And mixing it up and smiling and saying, hey, anybody that wants to go with them, you're more than welcome to. Because we're going to make these students feel at home in St. Joseph and say, you are welcome here. And this house will be filled with people from all the nations of the earth. And this will be a multicultural house. And this will be a place where people of every persuasion, no matter how they look or dress or what educational level or what age they are. We said it in the beginning. God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. My sons and daughters are going to prophesy, old and young, whatever social status. I don't care. I don't see color. When we were in Africa, no one looked at us weird except the little kids who were afraid of us. It's like, what is wrong with you? You need to get out in the sun more often or something.
I just want to encourage you. We realized when we got back how important it is to write down your dreams.
Yes.
Write out the words that are highlighted to you in your Bibles. It's so important. You know, God's letting us know how the direction he wants our lives to go. But we just need to be like awake, aware. I just, the Statue of Liberty picture over here, I painted at a sanctuary. And when I painted that, I thought, that is so weird that I painted that picture. Because what does that have to do anything? When we were getting ready to fly out of Newark, Tim looks out the window and
guess
sees the Statue of Liberty. And then when we came back, I was laying in bed trying to get over jet lag. And I remember back to that sanctuary. Come to sanctuary, please come.
God speaks.
I want you to come. Pray with us. The Lord speaks to us. I want you to learn. Come. Yeah. Because that night at sanctuary, I was praying a dream I had the night before. And the dream was that I was walking up steps. They were narrow stone steps. And when I got to the top, there was a bathroom. And there was a coin. And this sounds really weird. I thought, Lord, that's a really weird dream. But when I got home and was trying to get over jet lag, I thought about that dream. Those steps was the bishop's house. Because I would go up three flights of steps to go to the bathroom at the top floor. And the Lord has spoken about that coin to me that I don't know if I'll share or not. But anyway, it's just...
We found treasure in Togo. You know what I mean?
Come. Next time we have sanctuary, come.
Because God wants to speak through you, too. There's a unique vision that you carry that we're not complete without. That's one thing also that struck me about Praise Chapel. Bishop wasn't up here cheerleading. Everything happened without him. He had just his people engaged. It's like things were happening and he just sat there, was enjoying it. He was the bishop of the house, but it wasn't all about him. It was remarkable. They've got a television show. They've got HD cameras running around that sanctuary. They're on radio. I was on National Togo Television. Listen, praying for the president. Bishop says, you're going to pray for the president. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Okay. It's like, okay, here we go. And see, I've had dreams. I've had multiple dreams where I'm with the president. Like every administration since Bill Clinton, I've had that dream. It's like, I don't know what God is doing, but here's what I know. We've got to be ready. We've got to be prepared. This is our moment. We can't be hiding and asleep any longer. We could have a nice little quiet church. Rabbi said this to me Friday. He said, Tim, you guys, he's talking about restoration, you guys cannot be the quiet little, normal, going through the motions. He said, God has so much more for you than that. He has connected you internationally. You have got to be who he has created and designed you to be. You must do that. We must do that. And again, thank you all for releasing us and letting us do that. I'm just telling you, this is just the tip of the iceberg. And it's not about us. It's about us. There's some really fun things. I can't even tell you some of the things that have already happened since we've been back. It's wild. It's desire of your heart kind of stuff. It's a new season. Our fourth birthday is going to be a release into things we've been dreaming of. I'm telling you. Let you stand to your feet this morning. I don't know what you're dreaming of, but I agree with Krista that there's a desire in your heart. And if you don't know what it is yet, that's okay. All you've got to do is be open. Just say, Lord, I'm available. Here am I. Who knows where he will send you? I know it's going to be a desire of your heart, though, wherever that is. It might be in the school where you teach. It might be in the neighborhood where you live. He's put you in St. Joe for a reason. I'll just say that. This city needs an awakening too. This city is desperate for an awakening. We just don't know it. But we're going to wake up. St. Joe's going to wake up. The alarm clock is ringing. We're going to wake people up and say, listen, God has a plan for you. We want to help you be a part of it. Why don't we pray? I want to release to you whatever it was that we got It's not just for us. We came back with containers full that God destined for this house, for this hour, for this moment. So why don't you just pray with us? Would you just lift your hand if you're comfortable doing so? And if you're not comfortable, lift it anyway. I'm tired of being nice. Rabbi says, you're too nice. That's what he told me. You and Krista are so nice. Stop it. He said, no, he didn't say it. We'll stay nice. But we're going to be determined. Amen. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you that you love us so much that you don't give up on us. I know we frustrate you. I know I was going to say disappoint, but I felt like the Lord said, nope, you don't disappoint me. I'm not disappointed in you. See, we've got to have our mind renewed. Listen to this. This is the Spirit of God. Your Father is not disappointed in you. He never could be disappointed in you. He created you. You're His treasure. He is not disappointed in you. Religion says it's what you do that earns His favor. God says, I've already poured out my favor on you. There's nothing you could do to get more favor. There's nothing you could do to get less favor. You got it all already. Will you walk in it? Will you wake up? The part of your heart that's been dormant, that's the word I've been looking for. Your heart has gone dormant. And God says, this is your season for awakening. God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Will you not perceive it? That means we've got to be awake. We've got to be aware. We've got to be sensitive. We can't be asleep. God, I pray for us today as sons and daughters that we would be fully awake, fully aware. Honestly, that means that we might become aware of some things that need to be different. Some areas that need to be repented of. That we need to acknowledge that I've let other things steal my attention. I've let this culture determine how I act, how I live. And Lord, what you say is, but I've got so much more. I've got so much more. More than you could ever understand or imagine. How about you just walk in it? How about you just experience it? How about you let me lead your steps one at a time? How about you stay a hold of my hand and don't let go? How about you dare to dream with me of things that you would even be afraid to ask me for? But I say, my child, I delight to give you the desires of your heart. I'm the one that put those desires there. I want to awaken them in you. I want to give you dreams and visions so big that they scare you, because you know then that apart from me, you can do nothing compared to what we can do together. Oh God, awaken us to the truth. Thank you for using what the world would say is the least among us. Little Togo, little Africa, on the backside of the continent that nobody really pays attention to, and through that thing that others might scoff at, you're going to surprise a nation. We pray, Lord God, for revival to come to Africa. And I thank you that the portal, the gateway of Lomé is open. And there's nothing that can restrict the flow of what you want to do. We pray blessing on Bishop Paul and Pastor Blessing. We pray blessing on Praise Chapel, Lomé, Togo. I pray blessing on every one of those 800 pastors. Thank you for the vision of a church that said we can train pastors to go out and spread the gospel. We can go into villages where trees talk and say, shut up in the name of Jesus. Shut your trunk. You know, we can say, you will not stop the work of God from progressing. Lord, the enemy has plans to steal, kill, and destroy. And we say, greater is the one that lives in us than any plan of the enemy. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gates of hell cannot stop us from moving forward into our destiny. In Jesus' name, if you agree, shout amen and say, I'm in. I'm in. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit RestorationSTJ.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.